The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
My name is Albert Lewis Jr.
And I'm Alan McIntyre. And together we welcome you back to our show, Black on Black Commentary. And the intended audience for our show is the black community, yet others are encouraged and welcome to tune in. Each and every one of us has a unique bias when it comes to change or certain subjects. And I should warn you that the content of our program episodes is probably unlike anything you've heard coming out of the black community.
Again, I'd like to welcome you back and encourage you to keep an open mind and think for yourself. If you're not African American, we hope you'll listen in to our show as well. Our program is intended to educate our listeners and provoke serious thought. Each of our episodes will deal with a different topic of importance. Are you ready for some open and honest black-on-black commentary? Great, because it's time we talked. Yeah, you know, Alan, our last conversation about the third world status of a lot of inner city communities, urban communities, got me thinking. I couldn't stop thinking about it. I searched trying to come up with a solution to this. And after considering the political climate, how each party kicks this ball back and forth, kicking the can down the road, the mindset of the people involved, the advantage taken of these people by the so-called black leadership. And I couldn't come up with a workable solution. And then I was listening to a black talk show, and this guy called in, and he was obviously very angry. They were talking about economic issues. All of a sudden, he said, "Well, we never got our 40 acres in a mule."
Lord have mercy.
And I thought, I've never been for reparations. But now I'm thinking the situation is so dire that perhaps reparations is the answer. I'm not saying that it's going to change everything overnight, but when you get a group of people who are in a mindset, in order to change that mindset, there has to be a significant emotional event to change that. And I think that if there was reparations, perhaps that would be that thing. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about reparations for slavery, because when slavery took place in the United States, it was happening all over the world. That's the history of man. Anytime you have a group of people, a state, a tribe, a nation, an empire that's stronger than somebody on their borders, they usually took slaves. They attacked. They conquered, they prevailed, and they took slaves. But no, I'm not asking for reparations for slavery. But what I think reparations are due is for the 100 years or more after slavery, where you had, after black people were emancipated, declared full citizens of this nation, you had people on every level. You had mayors, council people, you had states and federal attorneys general, you had state legislators, you had federal congressmen, senators, you had presidents, for generations, knowing full well that a group of people were being denied equal access to the economic system in this country, and they did absolutely nothing. There wasn't the opportunity to establish that tradition. There wasn't that accumulated wealth to pass down to the next generation. And I think these people, the ones who have failed to produce in this society, I think they are a victim of that. And I think that if there are reparations given to them, and there would be an opt-out clause for successful or productive black people, and I think they should not take part in it. But I think that if that was done, we could eliminate all this affirmative action, preferential programs, and anything else that has to do with lifting people up or giving them the kind of life that the average American has. I think we can eliminate that and we save money in the long run.
First of all, absolutely no to reparations, period. You can't come up with a scenario that would make me say that we have a need for reparations. Because let's say we give reparations for the time, for the period of time in America after slavery. Well, I think there were a lot of other people that had immigrated to this country after slavery that have been mistreated or looked down upon or shunned for whatever reason, whether they are Irish or German or whatever. Furthermore, let's look at people in this country in Appalachia. Based upon what you're saying, there's people in Appalachia that would very much feel discriminated against and left out. There's a whole lot of people going to get in that reparations line for a lot of reasons.
Wait, let me say this.
Because you're not going to respect the reasons that a lot of these people get in line. You know why? Because you're focused on the people that you just targeted, that you were specifically mentioning. And guess what? Those people are going to feel slighted by you. There's a lot of people. I can come up with a whole lot of people that's going to want some reparations.
That's true.
For a lot of different
everybody
reasons.
Wants a freebie, but this is
my
point.
Even, let's not even
this
get started with
point.
Reparations.
Let's look at, I start with the white immigrants. Let's look at them.
Mm-hmm.
They came over, Italians, Hungarians, whatever, had an accent. And they might have been discriminated against mm-hmm. because the current Americans who were here feared mm-hmm. losing their job opportunities to them.
Mm-hmm.
The next generation grew up without an accent. They didn't have to worry about that. They were white Americans.
Mm-hmm.
That's where probably the discrimination ended, unless you stayed in that enclave and made yourself part of it, kept yourself in that discriminated environment. Blacks, on the other hand, with that black skin, you're going to always be black. From 1,000 generations from now, you're going to be black. And as far as I'm concerned, if you are a white person and you are poor and you don't have an education and you're not being productive in this society, it's your own damn fault.
I feel the same way about blacks.
But listen, blacks have half of an excuse, maybe even a third of an excuse, but a white person has absolutely none. Number one, if you're a white person, all you got to do is show up.
I don't think anybody has a genuine
excuse. Most of the time, nepotism will take care of you. But if you are a white person,
you're working on the assumption that everybody sees your skin color when you walk through the door and sees it as a reason to hold you back.
Now, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying this, that with 100 years of Jim Crow and discrimination, a certain percentage of the black community develop this mindset that they can't make it
That's
in America.
Fault.
I agree to a certain extent.
You didn't develop that mindset.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Because I was...
Well, there's your answer to the whole idea of reparations.
Listen to me. I was of a strong enough personality that I rebelled against it. When the civil rights movement first started, and I was sitting in school, and they were saying that black kids are not as smart as white kids. I was offended by that.
You should have been.
When I first started through the primary grades, I was in all black schools. But then when I went to junior high, I was in an integrated school. And I sat there thinking, I'm going to get better grades than any white kid in this class, simply because they were saying that I wasn't capable.
Mm-hmm.
But not every black person has that personality.
Do you understand what you're saying?
Let me finish. Because society at almost every level, and even some people with your own skin color are saying you need this government to succeed and you can't succeed without it, a large percentage of black people have internalized that. And so because they've internalized it, there has to be a significant emotional event to break that cycle. And I think that with reparations, with a lump sum payment given to everybody who hasn't made it in America, that would, I think, create that significant emotional event, break the cycle. Because for then, you've been compensated for what you think white society did to you, and now you're on your own. We can eliminate all the preferential programs.
Let's stop there. Hold on. Before you go into that, that costs
$1 trillion a
before
year.
We would save that.
We would save
Elvin,
money in
Elvin,
the long
Elvin,
run.
Save your breath. Don't waste your time. Let me tell you why. Because those Negroes Did you hear what I said? I want to make this quite clear, and I don't give a damn what nobody thinks. Mm-hmm. Just as soon as you give those Negroes whatever the hell you tell them you're going to give them, they're going to turn right back around and say it was not enough. Do you hear me? And you
it doesn't find, matter what they say.
Shit. Yes, it does.
Not only would they say it's not enough.
Let me tell you why it's going to matter. Let me tell you why it's going to matter what they say. Because they're going to come bring their asses right back asking for more. No. You try ignoring them and think it's not going to matter.
Because
guess what?
No, this
you
way
got
to,
the same thing happening right now. You
this
got people
is the
saying
the program
you,
is going to work. If you accept this.
Give me a dollar amount right now. Give me a dollar amount right now.
Off the top of my head, $100,000.
Let me tell you what. That ain't enough.
Now listen.
I'm telling you.
Now listen.
If you're going to give me some reparations, I don't want $100,000.
Listen.
I want about $500,000.
No.
You're going to have so many people disagreeing on your amount. Who decides the amount?
If you accept that, then you will no longer be eligible for any government programs.
What's going to happen when you give this little black girl in the projects with four babies $100,000?
I tell you exactly what's
going to
happen.
She's going to be broke in 1 year.
I tell you what's going to happen. Exactly. And 6 months or 9 months after the reparations go out, most of that money would be back in the white community because black people are going to go out and spend it.
So don't even burden the country with this foolishness of reparations.
The money
is going to create more problems.
The money is not the problem. The problem to me is
the
mindset.
Does the money genuinely create opportunity? A lot of people are going to question that.
The mindset. If we don't do something to break that mindset.
Elvis, you have got to stop for 1 minute and let me respond to what you've been saying.
This situation will continue. We will have an increase or an advance of third world status inside the cities. There has to be a significant break in the mindset.
Elbert, please, for a minute, let me tell you something. Let me tell you a big problem you're going to have. You know how much of that money is going to make it to the dope man? Let's start there.
Wait a minute.
You know how much of the money is going to make it to the liquor store, and for cigarettes and all the things that it.
I agree.
Now hold on. Here's what's going to happen.
I agree.
You know how much resentment that's going to cause. Because guess what? That damn money is going to come from people that were not responsible for the things that you're talking about.
I agree.
So all it's going to do is create further separation. It's going. You know what's going to happen? Then here's what's going to happen, too. Not only are you going to have...
Come on.
You're going to have deeper resentment.
You're making a big assumption.
So you didn't just make an assumption with the whole idea of reparations and what it's going to fix?
No, you're making an assumption that every single person in this group is going to be irresponsible with the money.
The majority of them are going to be irresponsible with the money.
I think there is a percentage of them who will take this opportunity.
A very small percentage.
Who will use it as a springboard.
And then the ones that don't use it as a springboard are going to say, guess what?
But again,
They're going to say, you gave me this money and I was ill-prepared to receive it. First of all, they're going to get back in line. They're going to say, guess what? No. Let's do some training and teach me to be prepared to receive this money so I can do the right things with it. That is what's going to happen because I've already heard this.
That's part of their responsibility. Once they get the money.
You cannot.
And then the government can stop spending trillions of dollars every year.
You cannot spend your way out of this predicament. It's a mindset that has a change in the way
that's
people
what we're
think.
Doing now. We're trying to spend our way out of this. We're saying that
that's what the Democrat Party is doing.
Because of
15 trillion on poverty
of,
and this
because of past practices that we're going to provide you with this certain level of subsistence, and it hasn't worked. So now we're saying we're going to make a break with this. We're going to give you your reparations. And now you're on your own.
Well, okay. Now, let me tell you something.
And if you don't make
let
it,
me tell you something.
It's nobody's
back,
fault
Let me
but
make
your
a
own.
Few points. Back to what I said. They are going to argue that they were ill-prepared to receive the reparations, and the other half are going to argue that you didn't give them enough. Then we're going to – let me go here first of all.
But they can argue all they want.
Hey.
But the cost effectiveness –
you're going to be back at square one where you're at now. They're arguing that they want this. They want that.
No, you won't.
See, that's a terrible assumption to make.
Let's go back to the mindset.
Hold on.
The mindset is –
you're not
going to
change the mindset by throwing money at them.
Yeah,
because we're currently throwing money at them.
Because we're saying that
– and the mindset has not changed.
You're going to get paid. You're going to get paid for – what you
we're
feel.
We're
going to
give you other people's money. We're going to redistribute the wealth. And I have a problem with the whole idea and concept of redistribution
of wealth.
No, we're
going to circulate the wealth because we already established that once you pay that money.
But you got to let me respond to this whole ridiculousness of reparations.
There's only two things you can do with money. You can invest it, save it, or you can spend it. And most of that money will be spent to buy things. And the money goes back to basically the white community. So we're not redistributing wealth. We're recirculating
wealth.
You're
starting at square one for the purpose of making it back to square one with this whole idea of reparations. Let me explain something to you, Albert. Mm-hmm. You're going to go giving these people this money, mm-hmm. and they're going to get right back in line. But then you're going to say, oh, no.
There won't be a line.
No. They're going to create the line by arguing.
There won't be a line.
Guess what?
There won't be a line.
Like I said, you don't care. There's a lot of us say we don't care now to pay reparations. All you're going to do is go in a circle. What you have to understand, first of all, reparations already been paid.
Because this is what.
Do you want to address that? Reparations already been paid through welfare and entitlement.
In a sense.
Hold on, no, in a sense. Through welfare, through entitlements. Wait a minute, Albert.
This is what I'm trying to get through to you.
No, you got it through to me. And what I'm telling you is.
Because
you're not going
to. If we're going to break this mindset.
You're not going to break. The mindset is not broken with money.
I think so.
You think money breaks the mindset? Okay, so why do you have.
This is what's going to break the mindset.
You're saying that money breaks the mindset, and I'm going to prove to you right now that it doesn't. Look at P. Diddy. Look at Jay-Z. Look at these black athletes and actors. Guess what? They have become famous. They still conduct themselves like niggas. Did you hear what I just said?
Yes, I did.
The ghetto and that foolish mentality has not come out of them. Money does not change it. It's about education.
Some rich people conduct themselves that way.
No, the not majority all. Of them. No, listen to me. No. Well, I'll tell you
now,
what.
If the majority
are you
of
watching
them
these people? Are
yes,
you watching
of course
these people?
I am. Of course
did you
I
watch
am.
The BET Awards?
No.
Did you watch where people got the biggest rise in responses out of the crowd? All those people sitting in those crowds have attained a certain level of wealth through, mm-hmm. through the entertainment mm-hmm. industry. Mm-hmm. And when did they react the most? When people were on the stage acting a fool, shaking their asses, conducting themselves.
But listen, you're making a determination about
based off
about
of what I see
and
based off
of what less than 1% of the black
Jay-Z has a product. Let me give an example.
Now listen to me. No. Jay-Z is less than 1% of the black
community. But he influences the whole black community for the most part. All the youth. He influences the youth. That's why they wear their pants off their asses because of what they've learned.
Jay-Z didn't start that.
No.
That started in the prisons.
No. Listen. The hip-hop industry, unfortunately, the rap industry is what popularized that.
The youth today are
responding and to things and conducting themselves based off the entertainment industry. That's how all this stuff is so those ideas are rapidly disseminated across this country. And what I'm telling you is this: look at Jay-Z's product. He produces a product. Okay. And the product that he produces, the product that Kanye West produces, all these people is a product that, and I would call it a product foolishness. Okay, because guess what? I don't see these people open up manufacturing facilities. Hell, I don't even see them open up a facility that produces the CDs that they put out.
I agree with that. But they claim
to be such big advocates of the black community, but everything they do, everything that they produce, their product is derogatory and destructive to the very community that they claim to be an advocate of.
But I see that mentality and activity. Jay-Z and crowd, the entertainers, as a very minute percentage of the black community.
They might be minute, but look at the reach of their influence.
But to recap is this. I am convinced that reparations would be a way to break the cycle.
It's not going to break anything. It's just more
also,
welfare. Welfare hasn't broken any cycle to date.
Cost effective to what we're doing now, which is paying $1 trillion+ a year for poverty programs, for affirmative
action. Stop that crap too.
This would be a way to stop it. Because in my scenario.
You think all of a sudden they're going to quit coming back asking?
It doesn't matter.
Why doesn't it matter? You're going to ignore those voices?
Guess
what they're going to call you?
I don't care.
A racist Uncle Tom sellout.
I don't care.
Well, they're already calling you that, so don't even waste your time with the reparations.
Because once the reparations are paid, all the rest goes away.
Hey, Albert, you my man. If anybody is having any difficulty with me using the word nigger, let me say this. I didn't use it in a derogatory manner, and nor did I try to use it as a term of endearment. Now, I'm not using it the same way the rap artists use it throughout their songs. I'm using it to make a point. And I'm using it to really define how people conduct themselves. Now, I believe that a white person can act a nigger. I believe anybody can act that way.
I agree with that.
And so let me clarify that. And if I feel it necessary to use that term in the future, I will if it's going to get a point across.
Enough said. Give us some thought, and together, perhaps we can all ensure our country's future history and have it be something we could be proud of.